Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. Welcome to the show in Jesus' name right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network. We are loving the Lord over here in Jesus' name. If you are listening to me right now, you are blessed. You're not blessed because you hear my voice, but if you're hearing my voice, you are blessed because you are in the land of the living. Amen. And that's a reason to give God praise on today. Amen. That is a reason to give God praise because the Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Amen. I praise God for being here on today in Jesus' name. This is the show to get your weekend started off right. This is the show where the gospel is told and not sold, y'all. Amen. I praise God for this weekend. I praise God. It's Saturday. It's a beautiful, beautiful Saturday. We're on the weekend, y'all. I know some of us, we're doing our thing on the weekend in Jesus' name, and we're, you know, going about, going here, going there, and doing things. Some of us are getting ready for church tomorrow, and, you know, we're getting close to Easter, so I know it's kind of hectic right now doing various things. But today I want to just say thank you to each and every person that is listening to the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle radio show, and also all of the shows that we have right here on the Spirit Alive Network. Me personally, I catch some of the shows sometimes throughout the week in Jesus' name, and I listen to them, and I may not comment every time, but I do listen in Jesus' name. I think I do more listening than commenting. Amen. I thank God for that because the Lord is really, really blessing over here in the Spirit Alive Network in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we are talking about, I know we did a series on a Christian of the gospel, and I wanted to add on to that because today, this week, the Lord has been dealing with me, not just being a Christian of the gospel, but being a Christian of the gospel, but also what we have to do to war against the enemy, because every day it is a fight, okay? Every day we are fighting against four things. Our flesh, the devil. Well, first the devil, our flesh. Sometimes we war against what people say about us. We war about what people dislike about us. Amen. So, and we're not fighting the individual. We're fighting the spirit that comes against us. Amen. Let me make that perfectly clear when I say people. We're not warring against the people, but it is the spirit that is in the person that wars against us. Amen. And then the fourth one, which I should have put it there with the devil, but our demons. We war against demons daily. Amen. There are demons. There's the devil. There's our flesh, and there is just people in general. Amen. Because there's going to be people that are trying to rise up against you because they don't like what you stand for. I've had it happen to me. Amen. So we're going to start a new series on the weapons that we have in the spirit. Amen. The weapons of our warfare. This is the series, The Weapons of Our Warfare. Amen. And we're going to go over two of those weapons today. We're not going to hit all of them today, but we're going to go over two of them today. Amen. And those two are praise and worship. Amen. These two weapons are mighty through our Christian lifestyle, our Christian walk with Christ. This helps build our relationship with Christ. You might say, well, how does praise and worship help build our relationship with Christ? Well, first of all, these two things helps us and it helps the Lord, believe it or not. You might say, well, how does praise and worship help the Lord? I thought it helped only us. No, it helps the Lord. It helps the Lord to move quicker for us. Amen? It helps the Lord move quicker for us. It helps the Lord to know, hey, my son, my daughter is doing what they need to do for me. Amen? They're going through, but they're still giving me praise. They're still giving me worship. Amen? It allows God to look at you a little bit closer. Amen? So it moves God. Amen? It helps God. Amen? But I want to say this before we get into this. I want to read this scripture to you in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verses 4 through 5. And it reads, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." Now, let's break down this. I know I said that the title of this series is The Weapons of Our Warfare. These weapons that we have, I'm going to go through this right now before I get into the weapon of praise and worship. The weapons, now this scripture says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, let's break this scripture down. Let's break these two verses down in this scripture. For the weapons of our warfare. Now, we know that we have weapons in times of warfare. The Lord has shown us that the Lord has given us weapons in times of warfare. Now, what is warfare? What are times of warfare? When you're going through, when you're being hit with a problem, when you're being hit with a test or a trial, it might be a small test, it might be a big test, it might be a short test, it might be a long test, whatever it might be, you have weapons to fight with. Amen? Now, what are the weapons? One of them, we already know, is praise. The other one, worship. The other one, prayer, fasting, giving, adorate, just various things that we have. Amen. And I'm just throwing some out there, but we have other ones. Amen. But the four biggest ones is prayer, fasting, praise, and worship. Those are the four biggest ones. And giving. You want to add a fifth one in there. You might say, well, how does giving get us, you know, what we need? I'll explain that to you later on the other episode. Amen. Just stay tuned for that. But when we talk about praise and worship, now let's go to Psalms. Let's go to the book of Psalms, because that is the book of praise. Amen. The book of praise lets us know, and this is David speaking, because David wrote the book of praise, the book of Psalms. David gave adoration and honor. Praise is nothing but honor and adoration unto God. Amen. Now, I'm gonna show you what this is. We're gonna read Psalms 150. Psalms 150, verses 1 through 6, all 6 verses. Amen. And it reads, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him. See, you see the word praise him. It's not praise the problem. It's not praise the issue, but it's saying praise him. Praise him. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the string instruments and organ. Praise him with the loud cymbals. Praise him along the high-sounding cymbals. I love this verse number 6, the last verse, because this verse is very important, and this shows us who can praise the Lord. Amen. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now, what is this last verse telling us? It is telling us that, number one, every person, every living thing can praise the Lord. That means that you can praise the Lord. That means the dog and the cat can praise the Lord. That means the elements praise the Lord. The Bible says that if we don't praise him, the very rocks will cry out and praise him. Amen. You might say, well, a rock's not living. It's still an element. It's still part of the elements. Amen. It's still part of the elements. Now that we know that we all can praise the Lord, let's look at John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Let's go to John. I want to show you something in St. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. Because it's very, 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 it's very, very true about what this scriptures. Are these verses in John chapter 4 are talking about worship. All right? So, here we go. We're going to read it. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Now, I'm going to read that verse again. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. This is verse 24. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, let's break that down. We see in Psalm that every person, every man, woman, boy, and girl, every cat, dog, bird, whatever animal, every element can praise God, right? But it's stating right here that everybody cannot worship God. You might say, oh no, Minister Adam, you're wrong. I can worship God. Not if you don't have the Spirit, you can't. If you do not have, or if I'm going to use me, I ain't going to use nobody else. If I didn't have his Spirit, yes, I can praise God, but I cannot worship him because he who worships him must worship him in spirit and in truth, in the Spirit. You must take on his spirit to be able to see the difference between, there's a difference between praise and worship. See, to use the weapons, you have to understand your weapon. You have to understand the weapons of God that God has given us. You can't just pick up a weapon and just start using it. You got to understand it. You got to study your weapons. Amen. That's why the Bible says study to show thyself approved. You got to be approved to use the weapon. Amen. You just like you they take you to. I know some people. They go deer hunting and all of that stuff. They train themselves. Some people get trained to use those weapons. Amen. You can't just go out and shoot a gun at a deer and thinking that you got to practice your aim and all that stuff to shoot a deer. Amen. Well, this is telling us that one thing that we know about praise and worship is that worship is more deeper than praise. Worship is more deeper than praise. Now, watch this. Worship is the feeling or expression and admiration for a deity. This is admiration. This is the submission of yourself. That's what worship is. Now, what is praise? Praise is express warm approval or admiration of. This is giving thanks. There's a difference in worship and in praise. Now, praise is being thankful to the Lord, which we see in Psalms 100, verse number 4. Worship is showing honor unto the Lord. Amen. We must all have a praise for the Lord. You have been contracted. When you woke up this morning, you were contracted to praise the Lord. Amen. Every person, whether you saved or unsaved, whether you righteous or not righteous, whether you in the church or out of the church, you were contracted to praise the Lord. When you took your first breath this morning, you were contracted. How do I know? Verse number 6 of where we read Psalms 150, verse 6, lets us know that let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise you, the Lord. That's our contract right there. Once you took your first breath this morning, you signed on that contract, I'm going to praise the Lord. Because it wasn't you that gave yourself your breath. It was the Lord. You might have breathed in. Well, I breathed in and I breathed out. Who helped you breathe in and out? Your contractor. Amen? Now, anyone can praise the Lord, as we see. Anyone can praise the Lord and praise him in different ways. Now, there are many different ways that we can praise him. Amen. As we read, Psalms 150 showed us the different types of ways we can praise him. Now let's go to Psalms 149, verse number 6. You see, if we as people, we need to understand the true meaning of our Christian walk. And some of us need to go back to, this is basics. We need to go back to the basics, amen. We have to go back to the basics sometimes just to refresh our memory, amen. Psalms 149, verse number 6, amen. And it reads, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. This is a way that we praise the Lord. This is one way that we praise the Lord with our mouth, by what we say. Amen. And the praise of God becomes a weapon. This is how we know that it is a weapon. Let it be, it said in verse number 6, and a two-edged sword in your hand. When you're praising God, your praise is like a two-edged sword to the enemy. It destroys things that And you know what? Your praise does two things to the enemy. It confuses him and it destroys his plan for your life. Your praise becomes a two-edged sword in your hand. When you giving God praise, make sure that you give him your best praise. Why? Because your best praise becomes your best weapon. I don't know who I'm talking to today. Maybe you might be going through something today, and you have no way out. Praise your way through the test. Amen. I've always been a person of praise, me personally. My mom, I've been told by my former pastor that I praise the Lord like my mama, and I do. I will praise the Lord at the drop of a dime. I will praise the Lord at a drop of a dime. If you see me in church, you'll know that I praise the Lord at a drop of a dime. I will not just sit there. Amen. This is what we need to do. Everyone can't worship the Lord. We can only worship him if we are filled with the Holy Ghost and living holy. Psalms 29, verse number 2. Let's go there real quick. Let's go to Psalms 29, verse 2. You might say, man, why I can't worship God without having his spirit? What are you talking about? Mr. Tugger, you're wrong. I can worship him without having the spirit. Oh, nope. Look, being in worship is tapping into a presence of God that some people can't tap into. Only people, you have to have the Holy Ghost to be able to tap into the spirit of worship. Why? Because worship, you are standing in the spirit realm. You are standing before the presence of the Lord. Amen. You are in his presence. You are under his shadow. You are closer to him than you've ever been. Amen. You're close to him with praise, but you're more closer to him with worship. I've seen worshipers and I've seen praisers. Worship is submission. Amen. Worship tells God, I am submitting myself unto you. You are tapping into a level of God. You are tapping into a level of your Christian lifestyle that cannot be tampered with just at any whim. This is not asking God for anything. This is telling God how much you love him. And you could say, I love you, Lord, but that goes beyond just telling him. This goes tapping into a level of God that you don't necessarily tap into all the time with worship. Amen. That's why you got to have his spirit on the inside. Now watch this. Psalms 29, verse number 2. This is why you need the spirit of God to be able to worship God right here. And it reads, Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of what? Holiness. You have to be in the beauty. You have to be holy to be able to tap into worship. It says worship him in the what? The beauty of holiness. You can't come to God any kind of way with worship. You can't even come to God any kind of way with praise because he's not going to accept anything. We want God to be on our level. Some of us, We just think that God just accepts anything. God don't just accept just anything, especially worship. Because that's honor to him. That's not asking him for anything. That's loving on him. That's showing him love. That's showing him honor. That's showing, that's giving him glory. You are tapping into a place that some people, and I'm going to be honest with you, some people, even in the church, can't even tap into. They've been saved for 40 and 50 years and still can't tap into it because they ain't there yet. They might have had a Holy Ghost, but there are levels in worship. Amen. And worship is a wonderful thing. Worship is a very beautiful thing. As we just read, you got to worship in the beauty of holiness. Worship is something that can feel, not only does it make God feel good, but with your worship, it feels God's heart up when you worship him to tell you to love it on him. He loves that. And in return, he gives you the same thing. In return, he gives us the same thing. Out of his love and compassion, how do I know he gives us the same thing? Because the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved. He gives you that so love. He now returns the favor of the love of worship, the love that you give in your worship to him. He returns it back unto you with that so love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I know we headed into Easter. I dare you to worship him. I dare you to give him the praise. We got to learn about this stuff. We as a people are contracted to praise God, along with the things he has created. In Psalms 148, verses 1 through 14, and you can read that at your leisure, it shows us what praises God, who praises God. Amen. But it is the praise of God that moves him. In worship, the saints of God are under submission to God. Amen. And that, you can read this at your leisure, about learning about being under submission unto God when you're in worship. That is in Psalms 95, verse 6, and in Romans 12 and 1. Amen? What does our praise do for us? Now, watch this, and I want you to see this. What does our praise do for us? It takes our faith to a higher level in God. In Isaiah chapter, let's go there real quick. I'm going to read one of these verses, and I'm going to give you the other two. But in the book of Isaiah, come on, somebody. Amen. We in the book of Isaiah, amen, in the book of Isaiah chapter 26, verse number 3, it shows us that our praise takes our faith higher. Amen. Isaiah chapter number 26, verse 3. Amen. And it reads. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he has trusted in thee. Amen. Our faith, our praise, takes us higher. He keeps our mind in perfect peace. Let me show y'all what praise does for us. When you praise God, you see, you start, the songwriter says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Why? Why is that? Why does my soul cry out when I think of the goodness? Because the Bible says think on these things. Mm-hmm. Think on these things that are pure. Think on these things that have a good report, so on and so forth. Amen. I'm paraphrasing the scripture, but we know what it says. Amen. When you think on these things that God has done for you, you start praising God. And it takes you to another level in faith because you start realizing, okay, God, I know you did this. I know you did this, and you did this, and you did this. So I know if you did this, this, and this, you can bring me out of this. It starts letting your mind wonder about what God can do for you. It brings you out of that mindset of doubt, and it brings you to a mindset of faith. And it builds your faith. That's why he said he'll keep your mind in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him. When you think about the goodness of Jesus, then you are, when you think about what he's done for you, you're thinking about God. And that's keeping your mind in perfect peace. Amen. That's what it does for us. That's what our praise does for us. When we start thinking about it, and then the songwriter says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out. Why does my soul cry out? Because my soul, when I think about it and I start just contemplating on what God has done, the praises start to begin. I start giving him glory and adoration. I start worshiping. I start thanking him for what he's done. Not only is my faith increased, but my praise is increased. Amen. My praise gets increased. What does our praise do for God? Our praise moves God. As I said before, our praise moves God. You might say, well, how does my praise move God? Let's go to Psalms 22. Let's go to Psalms 22, verse 3. I'm going to show you how our praise moves God. Amen. Psalms 22, 3. Amen. Thou art holy, O thou inhabitant the praises of Israel. He inhabits the praises of Israel. Amen. This means that he is welcoming our praise. He inhabits the praises of his people. And I know it says Israel, he inhabits the praises of his people. He is dwelling in the midst of our praise. He loves our praise. It moves him. Amen. It moves him to see us praising him. Amen. It moves him. Now, I want to go back a little bit because I said I was going to read one scripture and then I was going to share the other three scriptures and you can read them at your leisure. What does our praise do for us? It takes us takes our faith higher in a higher level in God. Now, I want to go give you these scriptures to read at your leisure. As I said, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, Philippians 4 and 8, and Philippians 3, verses 1 through 3. Amen. Amen. So I want you to go back and read those scriptures, and don't just take my word for it. I want you to read that for yourself. See, I'm a preacher that I've been taught, don't take no preacher's word for it. You go back and read it for yourself. If you ain't got your Bible in front of you and you taking notes or you writing down scriptures, go back and read them for yourself. Don't you just, don't do that. I don't care who you are. I don't care who I am. Go back and read it for yourself because God can give you revelation just like he gave me. Amen. Amen. What does our praise do for others? What does our praise do for others? Our praise to God can help others. How do we know this? Psalms 34, verses 1 through 3, and Revelation 12, verse 11. You might say, oh, it's in the New and Old Testament? Yes. This is how we know? Okay, well, I'm going to read both of them. I'm going to read both of them to you. This is Psalms 34, verses 1 through 3. Amen. Amen. This shows what our praise does for others. It helps others. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. This is Psalms 34, verses 1 through 3. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. What is that telling us? Our praise can help others. Our praise can help others. I remember when I was dealing with my issue with my heart, and I say this testimony a lot, and I probably wore this testimony out, but I'm still going to tell it to the day I die. Amen. I had a sister at my former church when I was dealing with that issue. I never asked the Lord to heal me during that time. Never asked him to. At least I don't believe so. But I did ask God why, and not to question God. It wasn't to question him. I wasn't charging God foolishly. I was just asking God why. What I needed to know what I did. Did I do something wrong? Did I do something? What did I not do something? What did it is something that I didn't do that you told me to do that I didn't do? Is this a punishment? Is it a test? What is it? Because I just want a clarification. It wasn't nothing big, but the Lord never answered me until the end. He never said a word. But what I did was, as I said, Lord, I never asked him to heal me like I said, but I asked the Lord to let me praise him like I wanted to. And then y'all know the story. I was at a choir rehearsal, and the Lord moved and allowed me to praise him, long story short. But that sister, I didn't know that sister would go through the same thing I went through after I came out of my test. And this sister came to me and said, Brother Adam, I watched you go through, and you never complained. The only thing you did was praise God in the midst of your test. And I watched you, and I watched you, and I watched you, and I never saw you complain. I never saw you say the woe is me. Now, am I better than anybody else going through a test? No. No. Nope. I ain't even going to say that. Because some of these tests that I've been through my life, they hurt. And when I say they hurt, they hurt. But if you go through it as a strong soldier, I promise you, he'll bring you out. So this is why it helps others. Amen. This is why our praise and our worship helps others. We need the praise. We need the worship. Now let's go to Revelation, because I want to go to Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Amen. Because it also, this one right here, shows us what our praise does for others. Amen. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Let's read that real quick. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Amen. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They overcame. That's why the Bible says, forsake not the assembly of the brethren. We can encourage each other. Now, let me say this. I understand. Now, there are two reasons why I understand and I don't understand why they cut out testimony services in some churches. I understand why some pastors cut out testimony service, because some of these people don't know how to give a testimony. Uh-oh. And I understand why some of the churches are keeping testimony service, because some of these pastors are only cutting out testimony services because they want to get up and preach. They want to do this. They want to do that. They wondering about what people going to say. They wondering about if they going to say what they think is the wrong thing coming against what they're preaching about. They ain't preaching holiness, and so if the person gets up and gives a testimony about holiness, then it comes against them. Then they want to cut out testimony service. They want to know what they're going to say before they say it. But I understand why some of these pastors are cutting out testimony services, because the people don't know how to testify. They test the line. Uh-oh. They giving the woe with me. Oh, the devil did this to me. The devil did that to me. You over there giving a testimony, supposed to be giving a testimony about what the Lord has done for you, and all we hear is the devil. The devil did this. The devil killed my cat. The devil did. The devil done cut my. The devil done cut off my lights, everybody. What has the Lord done? What has the Lord done for you? All through that supposed to be testimony, you done worshipped and praised the devil. And give God no glory. But you call that a test. And then some of these people are trying to get up and preach. Uh-oh. And you ain't the preacher. So I understand. But as long as I live, and I said this, as long as I live and as long as God has me in a place, I'm going to praise God every time I get a chance to. Amen. But what does worship? Now we're getting into worship. What does worshiping the Lord do for us? It helps us learn to be humble and be in submission to the Lord. How do I know this? Let's go to Psalms chapter 5. And Minister Tuggle, you just all over everywhere in this Bible. You everywhere today, mainly in Psalms. But thank God for the Word of God, amen. It brings clarification to us, amen. In Psalms chapter 5, verse number 7, it reads, "But as for me, I will come unto thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple." Amen. Worship brings submission. Worship, this is David is talking about humbling himself, submitting himself unto the Lord. Amen. This is submission unto God. Amen. Now, what is submission? Submission is the act or fact of accepting or yielding to a supreme force or to the will or authority of another person. That is submission. We are submitting ourselves to the authority of God. That's why I said everybody can't worship God. Everybody cannot worship him because everybody don't want to submit. That's why you got to have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost helps us to submit. How do I know the Holy Ghost helps us to submit? You might say, well, I just can't submit to everybody's authority. No, the Lord submitted unto authority. Uh-oh. You might say, no, the Lord didn't submit to authority. What do you mean the Lord submitted to authority? Yes, he did. He submitted to authority when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He submitted to authority when he told the people, render unto God what is God's and render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. He was telling the people, submit yourself to authority. Submit yourself to authority. And when we worship God, we are submitting ourselves to the underneath the authority of God. But we got to have the Holy Ghost, because that's the only way we're going to be able to win in submission. We got to have the Holy Ghost. Well, how do I know? In the Garden of Gethsemane, his fleshly side did not want to die. Because we're going into Easter, I'm about to go there. His fleshly side, his natural side of God, the natural side of God, which did not want to go to the cross. How do I know? Well, how do we know? He said, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. He did not want to taste death. He didn't want to taste death. His flesh decided, he knew that the agony and the pain that he would have to go through. And his fleshly side did not want to die. I'm happy Jesus was that way. Because I don't know anybody that's in their right mind that actually wants to die. You know that your death is coming, and you know how you going to die? You going to, seriously? Really? I mean, that just let me know that Jesus had a human side to him. That let me know I have a human side to me. Don't nobody just want to up and die. But they ain't crazy. I'm just saying. Just saying. But if we look, what does our worship do for God? Our worship to God is the love and respect he so deserves from us. Let's go to Psalms 103. Amen. This is the respect. That's why I said submit yourself unto God. Submit to the authority of God. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you have submitted yourself to the authority of God. You're telling God, I'm going to do your will. When you fight against what God is saying, you're slapping God in the face. I don't know who that was for. You're putting him back on the cross. You're saying his death was in vain for you. Amen. But let's go to Psalms 103. Let's go there real quick. Psalms 103, verses 1 through 3. Psalms 103, and it reads, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thine diseases. This is letting us know that when we gotta be so careful, we gotta be humble enough to not forget what he has done for us. That's why when I said the songwriter says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus, it brings praise and worship go hand in hand. Because when you come, do you know that if you have the Holy Ghost, don't you know that praise can lead you into worship and vice versa? Worship can lead you into praise. Amen. Because they go hand in hand, and this is why these two powerful weapons in Christ, it breaks down strongholds, as we read in 2 Corinthians. As we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, it breaks down the stronghold. Praise and worship are two weapons that are mighty in Christ. That's why when people can't understand why are you praising God, and some of us know that we're going through a test. Some of people might know that we're going through. And some of the saints might know that we're going through. But we're still praising God. We're still worshiping God. We're still on our knees praying. We're still fasting. We're still giving. We're still giving. We just all in there for God. We're still moving. And and people are wondering why. How are you able to do what you're doing? Well, I told my doctor a long time ago, because when my doctor asked me, how are you able to do this and do that, I said, it's because of the grace and the mercy of God. I live and I move and I have my being in Him. My praise for Him, that gives me life. I was prophesied over a couple years ago, and the preacher was telling me, he said, the reason why God has kept you alive is because of two things: the prayers of the righteous and your praise. Because your praise has kept you alive. The praise has told death and the devil himself, if you mess with me, I'm going to fight with everything I got. And I was amazed, because that's how I am with my praise. And I made up in my mind at the age of 18, because I went through, like I said, I went through the issue with my heart, and that was the biggest test of my life, I believe, so far. Lord, do not send me a bigger test. I'm not asking for no bigger test, because we got to watch what we say. Amen. But at that time, that was the biggest test of my life. Because I was near death's door. I was in there. I had one foot in the grave, literally. And I asked, and I told God, I said, God, if you just let me live, I'll praise you for the rest of my life. If you just let me live, I'll just praise you for the rest of my life. And when I praise God, this is specifically for me, when I praise God, it is a wonderful thing. I will praise it. My wife will tell you, I will praise God in my home. I'll praise God in the car. I'll praise God at church. I'll praise God on the street. I even praise God at work. But I'm on my job. They don't even know it. When I say thank you, Jesus, that's a praise. I'm sitting there counting money, or I'm sitting back in the office. Amen. I'll just say thank you, Jesus. Under my breath, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Or when I'm doing something, I'm down there sweeping or something, thank you, Jesus. I always have a praise. Always. All the time. You see, because it's been endowed in me by God for me to praise Him and worship Him too. I love worship. I love getting on my knees. Now, what are the different types of praise? There is voice of praise. When you're praising Him with your mouth, there's lifting of your hands, there's a dancing in your feet, amen. You can praise Him with the instrument, amen. But what are the depths of worship? When you get before Almighty God, you can lay prostrated before the Lord and worship Him. I love laying prostrated before the Lord. It's a sign of submission. It's a sign of reverence. It's a sign of honor. Getting down on your knees. Look, some people don't even like getting down on their knees and praying no more. They like to sit up. Well, I'll praise Him sitting in my chair. And the pastor done said, stand up and let's pray. And you still sitting there. And you young as a young can be. Now, I can see if you have an issue with your body or something like that. I understand that. And the Lord understands that. But if you young and in your prime, and you, oh, well, I'm just going to sit here, because I've seen it. Well, they'll just sit there while the prayer's going on and stuff, knowing that the pastor done told them to stand up and let's pray and all that stuff. And you young as young can be, and you just sitting there. Well, I'll praise Him from my feet. Mm-mm. Standing up and praying unto God and worshiping God and praising God, that's honor. It's an honor just to praise Him. It's an honor just to give Him worship. Amen. There are many ways to praise and worship the Lord. And this is my last thing. Amen. I'm happy that the Lord gave me this today. Amen. We can praise him with our voice. We can praise him in our, we can praise and worship him with our voice. We can praise and worship him in our giving. We can praise and worship him in a dance. We can praise and worship him with our hands. We can praise and worship him with our time. Our time. Which one of these are most important? Our time to him. There are 24 hours in a day. And do you know, the Lord showed me that we give more time to the things not of God than we do the things of God. Well, I got to go here. I got to go there. I got to go. But you can't give. Now, the Lord is worth more, a whole lot more than your job, than whatever you got going on. We know this. But some people can't even take 5 to 10 minutes to give God a praise. Take 5, 10 minutes out of your day just to read the word, just to read a verse. You ain't got to read the whole. The Lord is not asking you to read Genesis to Revelation every day. But get a verse. I tell my Sunday school class, every time we have Sunday school, I tell them, read your Bible. Us as saints of God, we should fast at least once a week. If not once, twice, three times. Every now and then, we should do a 72-hour fast. And I mean straight through, sometimes straight through, because it keeps you. Amen. These are the weapons that we have. Amen. And I know I'm going into deep detail. Giving out of your need. In these last two, three minutes, yeah, giving out of your need, giving of your time, to people. I know, I have been on my job where I've had people come on my job, and I've had customers and employees, people. I came in, one Sunday, I was off, and I came into my store to grab something, and there was a man there, and he was down and out, and he just started crying about how what he was going through, and I sat there and listened to him, and I had on this nice suit and everything, and all of that. And how one of my coworkers, because I had on a white jacket, and this man was leaning on me, crying, and I hugged him. And one of my coworkers said, "You," after I was done praying for the man, my coworker asked me, "You let that man lay his head on your suit jacket like that and everything?" I said, "Yes, yes." Why would you let him do that and dirty up your stuff like that? Because I can get this. Look, this suit don't bother me. It ain't about the suit. It's about the ministry of God. It's not about these fancy clothes. It's about what I do for Christ. It's about what I do for Christ. It's about what you do for Christ that matters. I can be in a suit all day long and be like a raging wolf and have the baddest attitude and ain't giving God no glory just because I got on a suit and just because I look like a preacher and all that stuff. That don't mean a hill of a bean to God. But what you do for him, when you praise him, when you worship him, when you give of your service, when you give of yourself, giving is a part of this. That's ministry. I don't mean to go here. Man, I got to go because, man, we about to go into another lesson. God bless you guys. God bless every single person. But remember, Give time to God in every area of your life. Give him praise. Give him worship on today and on tomorrow. Not just give him worship and praise on Sunday. Give him worship and praise every day in Jesus' name. As it states in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace one day. This is the only way to see heaven in Jesus' name. God bless you. God bless you, and I love you. And until next time, this is The Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle in Jesus' name. And as my grandmother used to say, if you don't see me again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you in Jesus' name.